Microsoft's president warns that after Russia's setbacks on the battlefield, Moscow could escalate attacks in cyberspace. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. In the wake of recent attacks on the Nord Stream gas pipelines, the West needs to be vigilant about security of undersea cables carrying internet traffic around the world. That is the message from Microsoft's president, Brad Smith, who told the BBC that while cyber defenses held up well in the early days following Russia's Ukraine invasion, attacks on internet infrastructure could ramp up as Moscow suffers setbacks in the war. The BBC's Gordon Carrera has more on that story.
Predictions that Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February would be accompanied by massive and destructive cyber attacks proved to be wrong. But it was not for lack of trying, according to Microsoft President Brad Smith, who told the BBC that defences had held up well.
You know, that is, in effect, part of what, frankly, has sustained Ukraine, not just with Microsoft, but with some other tech companies. The Russians were able to launch a cruise missile against the Ukrainian government's data center. But we had already duplicated and copied and moved that data into other data centers across Europe.
But with Russia suffering setbacks on the battlefield, he echoed concerns from Western intelligence officials that Moscow could escalate attacks in cyberspace, including against the West.
Cyber weapons are among the easiest to deploy. We have seen an increase in Russian cyber espionage, trying to break into networks. You know, we've been able to track this and identify this in 42 countries, including the United Kingdom.
One particular area for vigilance, he said, was critical infrastructure, such as energy systems. He warned of the risk to the undersea cables that carry internet traffic.
At a time when, you know, people see what looks like sabotage on a natural gas pipeline, you know, we have to even be even more mindful than ever about potential sabotage of, say, network cables for the internet and the like.
But said steps have been taken to ensure that data could be diverted down alternative paths if they were disrupted.
That's the BBC's Gordon Carrera reporting there. Staying on the impact of the war in Ukraine, European leaders are continuing an informal summit today in Prague with energy concerns dominating the agenda. The head of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, said discussions are underway about how to limit peaks in dramatically rising energy prices and their manipulation by Russia.
We've been able to compensate. We have filled our storages by 90%. This is very good. We have been able to attract LNG and pipeline gas from reliable suppliers like Norway and the United States.
A number of countries have already taken action to limit strain on their energy supplies. Italy has just introduced new limits and times for gas heating, as the BBC's Mark Lowen reports from Rome.
Italy could be in for a chilly winter. As its gas supply from Russia plummets due to the war in Ukraine, the government has signed a decree under which buildings must reduce their central heating use by 15 days, with some exemptions, including hospitals, nurseries, and swimming pools. Italians will be asked to turn down their heating and off for an extra hour every day. Before the war, Russian gas made up 40% of Italy's supply, the second largest importer in the EU. That is now down to around 10%, as Italy has turned to other suppliers and liquefied natural gas instead. With energy bills soaring here and Italians now told to change their habits, there are fears that as thermostats dip, so will the appetite to continue backing sanctions on Moscow. In Rome, I'm the BBC's Mark Lowen for Marketplace.
Checking the numbers now, global stock markets are treading water ahead of this morning's U.S. September jobs report due out at 8:30 Eastern Time. The Pan-European Stock 600 Index is up just 0.1%, with benchmarks across the region all very little changed. Bond yields across the Eurozone are moving higher as prices fall. If you're fed up with Google and its ability to track your every search move, you might be one of thousands in the U.S. who have tried a startup rival called Neva. It's founded by the man who used to run Google's ad business, but his new platform promises to be both ad-free and tracker-free. The BBC's Zoe Kleinman finds out, though, whether it can really rival the reigning world search champion.
If you want to know how hard it is to break into the search engine market, ask Jeeves.
Introducing Jeeves, the world's first internet butler. Just type in a question and he'll quickly help you.
Ask is just one of the many companies that tried and failed to become the go-to place for searching the internet. Its problem, some big competition. OK, one very big competitor.
Google as well.
Google.
My most favourite is Google.
people on the streets of Glasgow there when we asked them what search engine they use. One man who knows better than most how powerful Google is Sridhar Ramaswamy. He used to work there. Now he set up his own search engine and there isn't an advert in sight.
Google has a dominant position in the marketplace, and the incentive for them to truly innovate, to truly create disruptive experiences, is not really there. And they're also a company. They feel obligated to show more and more revenue and profit to their shareholders, so they just keep increasing the number of ads. Worse, the information on Google is used for not just showing ads on Google search, but also in places like YouTube, in places like Maps.
His search engine Neva promises to be advertising and tracker-free. Trackers are little web scripts that carry information about what you've been looking at online, and they're largely used to target ads at you. It's how you end up being haunted by sofa adverts if you look at one once. We tried it out. I'm going to start by looking up the word migraine. It's quite similar, actually, results for both Google and Neva. They're mostly informative. There's links to news articles, not a lot here. But when you try a brand, the difference becomes more stark. Let's try BMW. Neva sticks mainly to links from the official website and the Wikipedia entry about the firm. Google also gives me the official site up top, but then there's links to used car dealers. Oh, there's a map of used car dealers near me. There's a lot more variety here, but it's also pushing me very hard to buy a car. And I never said that was what I wanted to do. Neva launched in the US last year and claims to have 600,000 users already. Its search engine is free to use, and Sridhar Ramaswamy hopes people will ultimately subscribe to use other features like a password manager. But can it seriously take on Google? Forrester analyst Stephanie Liu thinks that's a bit optimistic.
So realistically, no. Google has too many users, it has too much revenue, and its ad business feeds its search engine, right? It's sort of a David and Goliath story. I think the ultimate goal is to offer an alternative for the consumer base who is worried about their privacy, who doesn't want Google hoovering up their data and, you know, targeting ads based on their search history.
So in terms of challenging Google, it's very likely that the search will go on.
That's the BBC's Zoe Kleiman reporting there from the BBC's new tech hub in Glasgow, Scotland, there. And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.